Hey everyone, it's Jay. Hope you're all doing well. Trying something a little different this time. I decided to take a bit of a different approach, at least for September. And in this episode, we are going to chat about the astrology of September 2023, the whole month. We're not going to talk about every single happening, but I will highlight a few more than a few of the transits, just mini highlights. We'll talk about the new and the full moon. I will give you an understanding of sort of the overall vibes, the astrological vibes anyway, for the month ahead. And we'll see how it goes. So for now, let's get into it. Let's talk about September.
This is such an interesting month for astrology. There are no planets changing signs, with the exception of the sun, of course, which changes signs every month without fail. But, you know, Mercury, Venus, Mars, none of them are changing signs. And typically we would have at least Mercury changing signs, if not Mercury and Venus. But because they've both just had retrograde cycles and Mars has very recently just moved into Libra, it means that none of those more personal planets are doing any movement this month. And that, in combination with a few other factors, makes the month a little quieter overall. There's far less aspects happening in September. And there's also basically two vibes for the month. And the month is sort of split pretty much directly in the middle. There is one significant vibe for the first 15 days of the month. And then from the 16th onward, we have this different kind of story unfolding. In the first half of the month, we still have Mercury retrograde, Jupiter will station retrograde, Venus is going to station direct, but it's going to be at 12 degrees for about a week after it stations, and it's going to take some time to pick up its speed and get back to its normal pace. So it's just kind of a slow start to the month. You know, we also have a lot of planets in Earth signs. We've got the Sun, Jupiter, Mercury, Uranus, and Pluto all in Earth signs. And then we've got, you know, Mars over in Libra. That's the sign of its detriment. So Mars isn't as active or direct in Libra. It's a little sleepier than usual. And like I said, Venus is still gaining back speed. And then we've got Saturn and Neptune over in Pisces, which aren't exactly fleet of foot right now. Now, Mercury retrograde will still bring a little bit of chaos to our everyday activities, but I feel like that is pushing us to practice better patience, which also means kind of taking a slower pace. And, you know, with the exception of Venus stationing direct, the only signs activated for the first 2 weeks of the month are Virgo and Taurus. So Venus stationing direct in Leo and kind of activating that part of the chart. But apart from that, these first 15 days of the month is all about Virgo and Taurus. That's where the action is happening. We're going to be learning a lot about those signs and those areas in our charts. And things do look pretty positive, like Virgo and Taurus form the very supportive and encouraging trine aspect with one another. And so there is a real energy of collaboration, but the vibe is still pretty quiet, or maybe just more like practical and grounded. These are earth signs. The fact that we are only looking at two signs, two houses in the chart for 15 days does kind of focus in the energy, does kind of narrow things down and slow the pace. And during this 15-day period, we also have the moon in its waning phase, which means it is slowly losing light or reflecting less light from the sun as it moves towards that next new moon. And that also just adds to a kind of slower and more inward focus. It's really not until we get to the point where Mercury stations direct on the 15th that things sort of start to click into place and move with a little more zest and spark. And then in the second half of the month, the other signs of the zodiac will come back into play.
as do the outer planets. They are also getting activated. The moon will enter its waxing phase, gaining light and moving towards fullness. And we'll also have Libra season starting towards the end of the month. So the energy definitely shifts after the new moon and after Mercury stations direct, all happening on like September 14th, 15th. And even though it's a quieter month overall, it definitely feels like the momentum picks up just a little bit for this second half. Mercury and Venus will complete these series of aspects that they've been making throughout the summer. Mercury with Jupiter and Venus with both Jupiter and Uranus. Aspects that would normally happen just once, but will occur three times this year because of both Mercury and Venus's retrograde cycles. The Mercury-Jupiter series started at the beginning of August, the Venus-Uranus series at the start of July, and the Venus-Jupiter series all the way back in mid-June. And so on the one hand, all of these completions might just sort of feel like wrapping things up and maybe an extension of that slower pace, but it might also feel like a big relief, like the completion is what finally allows us to fully move forward with something and take more direct action. Either way, things are going to be moving forward on those fronts as well. And this part of the month will also bring us to the final quarter of 2023, which feels so bizarre to say. And that, of course, happens as we welcome the autumn equinox and Libra season. So maybe those first 2 weeks of the month are really a chance to reflect on the year that has passed and what we really want out of what's left. And that's certainly a great exercise for the day of the equinox itself. And then in the last couple of days of September, things really do start to heat up. We've got some Uranus activations and an Aries full moon that on paper almost looks like an eclipse. So let's talk about the new and full moons of September. Firstly, we have the Virgo new moon happening on September 14th at 21 degrees. And this is the same degree where Mercury stationed retrograde back in August. And then Mercury will station direct the next day, actually. So it's kind of an interesting entanglement there. But this kind of feels like a second beginning to Virgo season in a way. I mean, it does feel like a very introspective new moon and the kind of lunar cycle where we really want to wait a couple of days before setting any plans in motion, like waiting until Mercury gets its footing and the moon starts to gain back some light, just because the moon is hitting that station retrograde point. And so that in itself feels like a revisiting of something, but it is getting that fresh start energy. And I think this new moon might be full of insights and breakthroughs and feeling like we can really move forward again. You know, not only is it the new moon, so it's about fresh starts and new beginnings. Mercury will be stationing direct so soon afterwards, but also the sun is moving towards a trine with Uranus, and that usually adds a dash of surprise and excitement to the mix. And when we look at that through the lens of Virgo, we might be seeing breakthroughs in terms of our routines and systems and habits, you know, being able to shake things up in that way and try a new approach. And maybe it's a breakthrough in terms of whatever the retrograde story was for us, again, especially with it happening at that same degree. It might be something as simple as figuring out a new way to organize your cupboards so that things are more efficient, but maybe the way you discover this is out of the blue, like you're watching a TV show and you see the way that somebody's cupboards are organized and you're like, oh, I want to give that a shot. Something sort of wacky like that. The Uranus trine will perfect right after the Mercury station. So there could be something that suddenly comes together around this time, a kind of fast-paced new development. There's definitely a curious and experimental vibe here. And then we have the Aries full moon happening on September 29th at 6 degrees. Now, it's not technically an eclipse, but it's less than a full degree away from being within range of the North Node. And whenever the sun is within 18 degrees of one of the nodes, it means that we're in eclipse season. So right now, the sun opposing the moon will be at 6 degrees. But because at the time of that full moon, the sun is at 6 degrees exactly, and the node is at 24, I believe it's like 54 minutes. So that means that it's not exactly the 18 degrees apart. It's like the 54 minutes off. It's wild how close this is. And not only that, but this lunation will be ruled by Mars because, of course, Mars rules Aries. And Mars, which is currently in detriment over in Libra, is also within 3 degrees of the South Node. So it's in a sort of sleepy state over in Libra, and it's also next to one of the nodes. So yeah, this feels kind of spicy. And I think because it's so close to being an eclipse, we might feel some similar effects. Now, maybe it's a little less spicy than a typical Aries full moon, because again, Mars isn't as fiery when it's in Libra, but there's definitely still a bit of agitation and a little bit of like unsettling feelings here. It might not be the best day for social interactions. You know, Venus, the planet of relationships, is also in a crunchy square with Uranus on the same day. And the Aries-Libra axis in our charts has already come into focus this year with the nodes moving in back in the end of July. So the north node moving into Aries and the south node into Libra. Of course, the nodes are what triggered the eclipses as well. So that axis has already come into focus, and this full moon brings some kind of illumination or further emphasis to all of that. It could be some kind of I believe we've already had an eclipse actually in Aries within this cycle, but this could be just even more of a preview of sorts of what's to come. And with Mars being so close to that South Node, the South Node being all about emptying out and releasing, I feel like maybe we could find ourselves on this day, or, you know, within the like sort of 72 hours of the full moon, finding ourselves letting go of a particular fight, as in like, we've been fighting for a relationship to work, but we no longer have the energy or passion to do so. You know, the spark to keep advocating for something has depleted, or at least feels depleted on that day. And this could be in regards to any kind of relationship or any kind of advocacy you've been doing. It's not always about romantic entanglements. This could also be an opportunity to release some anger and frustration, to let go of bitterness and jealousy within relationships. I am definitely going to chat more about this full moon at some point this month, so stay tuned. All right, for this next section, I was going to do a best aspect of the month and a worst aspect of the month, but I think astrology is just more nuanced than that. You know, even the most challenging aspects have their workable features, and even the loveliest aspects can have a real saccharine edge to them. So I decided instead to just go with a list of days to remember. And the first of those days is September 6th, when we have the Mercury Kazemi in Virgo, or the Sun conjunct Mercury retrograde in Virgo. And this marks the halfway point of the retrograde cycle, Rejoice, Rejoice. And it's typically an aspect that offers a little bit of a break from the retrograde. It can be a time of kind of increased clarity, or having these little like aha light bulb moments. We get, you know, maybe the possible solution to a problem, or we just can see something a little more clearly. This is an aspect that I'll be chatting about more in the week ahead, I believe, like probably first week of September. Yeah, September 6th. So stay tuned for lots more on this. Then September 8th, the Sun in Virgo will trine Jupiter retrograde in Taurus. This is a really lovely energy for self-confidence and self-belief, for feeling ready to say yes to opportunities and feeling like you're capable of great things. It's a very vitalizing and expansive combination. You know, there's something here that really speaks to finding a greater understanding around something or making a connection with a greater purpose. Sun trine Jupiter feels a lot like a kind of a divine illumination. So that is definitely one of the more positive days of the month. Then on September 17th, Venus in Leo will square Jupiter retrograde in Taurus. And this is completing one of those series of aspects that I mentioned before. This is the final of three. So we're reaching some sort of conclusion with this story. And it is a square. So as always, there will be some tension or some kind of adjustment that needs to be made. But with both benefic planets, with both of our planets of sweetness and support being involved, the adjustments that you make lead to something meaningful or pleasurable. Like the adjustments are worth it. They make room for more joy or more positivity or just an easier time. Or that adjustment might come up in terms of having to make a choice between two things, but both things are kind of great. So it sucks that you have to choose one, but you still get a great thing no matter what. Now for this particular iteration in the series, we have Venus moving direct while Jupiter is retrograde, and that hasn't been the case for the previous iteration. So it could be that the Venusian side of things is what gets the upper hand. Although Venus does rule Jupiter while it's in Taurus, so that might have been the case for the entire series. But perhaps since Venus has come through the retrograde and has gone through a kind of rebirth phase, it might have even more of an edge. So definitely look to where look to where Leo and Taurus are in your chart, because the Leo side of things might be winning over. On the 19th, the Sun in Virgo will oppose Neptune retrograde in Pisces, and that makes for very foggy and unclear and forgetful vibes. We might find ourselves overlooking something. I am laughing now because one of my notes is just whoopsies. It's a day for whoopsies. The feeling is very much like trying to count drops of water in an ocean, because Virgo wants to be super precise and know all of the data and details, but both Neptune and Pisces are like, it's not going to happen. It's an aspect that speaks to a lack of clarity and even a lack of control, but it is great for creativity. So it's maybe not great for making a lot of linear progress on a project, but you know, brainstorming and exploration phases are going to get a lot of creative juice, I suppose. It's kind of a chance to let go of outcomes and just be creative for the sake of it, which might actually help to open us up to something that wants to come through the channel, but can't when we're more focused on deadlines and details. So then on September 25th, Mercury in Virgo will trine Jupiter retrograde in Taurus. This is another one of those series that's coming to a close. And in general, this is an aspect that's really helpful for communication and agreements and contracts and commerce. It's great for learning and researching. It's a really helpful boost for all Mercury-related things. And it might bring good news and positive developments, but for this one specifically, it might feel like there's just like all these threads of something that are finally coming together and coming to a close and wrapping up and tying into a nice little bow. And it might just feel like it might just have like a really good and optimistic vibe for the future. Then on September 29th, Venus in Leo will square Uranus retrograde in Taurus, another of the final squares for Venus while in Leo, another series that is wrapping up. And this has been an ongoing story about breaking patterns in relationships, about opening ourselves up to new ways of experiencing pleasure and joy, of feeling excited and enlivened by shaking things up and getting out of, you know, stagnancy and ruts. It's about being open to new methods of creativity. And as I've already said in this episode, Uranus can be shocking and a little destabilizing. So when we can lean into the energy of like big and unexpected change, we do really get the benefit of the freedom and the authenticity that Uranus is really gunning for. And finally, on September 30th, Mercury in Virgo will trine Uranus retrograde in Taurus. I mean, how many times have I said Virgo and Taurus in this episode? This is their month. This is their time to shine. Anyways, Mercury in Virgo trine Uranus retrograde in Taurus. This is an aspect of creative thinking, of new ways of thinking, of breakthroughs in communication. It is great for upgrading technology, good for switching up the schedule and routine, or for being spontaneous. There could be some unexpected but welcomed news, surprising developments. We might find ourselves saying something really authentic, like we didn't know we were going to say it. That's that Uranus, like out of the blueness of it all, and Mercury being the communicative part. And all of a sudden we're just like, oh, this is how I feel, and couldn't really hold that in anymore. But it's for a good purpose. It's something that's really genuine and probably very supportive and helpful as well because of that trine aspect. And I think this is going to be a really great aspect for maybe like writers who have been experiencing some writer's block or a lack of kind of inspiration. And for anybody that, you know, does things with the written word, with communication, that's maybe been feeling a little blocked creatively, perhaps because of the retrograde, but then Uranus comes through and it's like something clicks and the inspiration is there. And, you know, as I already mentioned, Virgo and Taurus are so much in the spotlight this month, but particularly 22 degrees and 15 degrees of Taurus are real hotspots this month. Jupiter will station retrograde, trine Mercury and the Sun, and square Venus all at 15 degrees of Taurus. And Uranus will be sitting at 22 degrees all month, connecting with the Sun, Mercury, and Venus. So if you have planets or angles around 13 degrees to 17 degrees or 21 degrees to 23 degrees of Taurus and the other fixed signs, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, this is quite likely going to be a dynamic month for you. Now, I do want to briefly mention Libra season, which will begin on September 23rd and also brings with it the autumn equinox and the celebration of Mabon for anyone that follows the wheel of the year. And the equinox is a time of equal day and night, and it's a real turning point for the sun in its yearly cycle. So it can also be a significant turning point for us in our own lives. The equinox is always a good window of time to reflect on the months prior and to look ahead at what's to come. They can be really potent days for journaling, for tarot readings, and, you know, changing up the altars, getting some fresh energy in there. Now, Libra is a cardinal sign, and so we might find ourselves in a period of new beginnings and initiations. It's an air sign, so the focus turns to interaction and collaboration and social activities. And it's a sign ruled by Venus, so we're seeking to create harmony and balance and fairness in all things, but especially in partnerships and in the work that we do with others. We might see themes of equality, justice, peace, and compromise come to the forefront. Negotiations that look to please all parties and create win-win situations are definitely a Libra season vibe. This Libra season is going to hit a little differently than usual, though, as we have the South Node currently transiting there. And that just tends to make things a little wobbly, a little topsy-turvy. As I mentioned, when the sun is within 18 degrees of either of the nodes, it means we're in eclipse season. And so eclipse season will begin right on the 30th. So I do think we're going to feel very different leaving September than we did coming in. And one more thing to chat about for September is what Venus and Mars are up to. And I'm calling it like a little bit of a missed connection, because between September 11th and October 8th, Venus and Mars are going to be within 3 degrees of each other, but they're never going to perfect any aspect. So Venus will mostly be in Leo with Mars mostly in Libra. So they would be, you know, moving towards each other to, or at least Venus would be moving towards Mars to form a sextile between those two signs, but they're never going to quite make it to that perfection degree. They're just going to stay within a couple of degrees of each other. They'll get as close as within 1 degree. I think at one point they get within less than 1 degree of each other, but you know, they can't quite get on the same page. That's why I'm calling it this missed connection. It's like Venus had all this fabulous reflection and reformation time while it was retrograde in Leo with the sun's co-presence. And then the sun leaves for Virgo, Mars enters Libra, and things just get a little crunchy. You know, maybe it's just the growing pains of living out the changes that we've been making while Venus was in Leo, that kind of like awkward and uncomfortable in between where in your heart you know that you moved on or that you have to move on from something, but you still actually need to do the moving on. Or even if it's not moving on, it's like whatever, something that you might have come to realize within the retrograde, something that was illuminated for you, and you know that it's a thing. You know it in your heart, you know it in your mind, but there's still that step of actually putting it into the real world, of actually making it tangible. And I think Venus is going to take care of that once it moves into Virgo. Even though that's the sign of its fall, there's something about Venus being able to make things tangible and applicable while in Virgo. And I do think that, you know, this Mars-Venus back and forth, little dance, misconnection, I think it's a happy ending, you know, overall in a way, because like Venus gets out of having to meet up with Mars. Even though it wouldn't be the most like classically challenging aspect between them, a sextile is like a very cute, like supportive, collaborative, cooperative energy. But Mars is still a challenging planet. And so it's kind of like Venus just gets away unscathed. But it could also be that the Mars stuff just can't seem to get the help that it could really use from a planet like Venus, especially with Venus being its ruler right now while in Libra. And if that's the case, it might sort of feel like something is just not coming to fruition and it might be frustrating in the moment. But just given how it's playing out, Venus being able to avoid that interaction with Mars, it does kind of feel like it's maybe for the best. But that is an interesting energy that's going to be in the mix for this month ahead. So if you do feel like there's something between the Leo house and the Libra house, or maybe something that's dealing with, you know, self and other, individuality and relationships, of course, that's also playing out on the Libra Aries axis, but the Libra Aries axis is ruled by Mars and Venus. So the two planets moving through this missed connection type of thing, not being able to get on the same page, like that frustration might be quite palpable throughout the month. But again, I think it is for the best in the end. I think it'll work out positively. And it's just an awkward little stage that we will all make it through. Okay, so that is going to do it for this September overview. I hope you enjoyed this. Let me know if you're listening on YouTube. Let me know in the comments what you think. If you are following me on Instagram, if you're not following me on Instagram, come and hang out at Jasmine's Astrology. You can send me a DM or respond to any of the posts that I put up there and let me know what you thought about the September overview. And I am going to be back with a couple of weekly check-ins. Next up, I'll be talking about the Kazemi. So I will see you soon. But until then, I'll catch you in the cosmos.